Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership, a proven and powerful process for unlocking the full potential of the people and teams across your organization, giving you the competitive advantage in the marketplace. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Business for Good, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. A list of things I hate to do. At the top of the list is moving. Yes, moving. That moment in your life where you get to touch everything you own at least once and often multiple times. Sure, sometimes a move can be exciting, like moving into your first new home or some sort of significant upgrade, but often moves are the result of some major transition in life. That fun stuff like a divorce or a health issue, or maybe you're dealing with your parents' estate. What if you had help? Today on the show, you will learn who to call if you find yourself in that situation. Jamie Shapiro, welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD.
Wow, Jeff, that is an amazing intro, and I'm going to need to steal that. That was so good.
It's
Thank
free.
You.
I'll give it to you. No
problem. I
problems.
Appreciate that.
So Jamie is the founder of Silver Linings Transitions, and she promises to make your move magical. Silver Linings Transitions is not a moving company, but a moving management company. Whatever you need to make a move happen, Jamie's team will make that so. So what a very interesting business model. I was not even aware this existed before I met you. So how did you come up with this?
That seems to be the case. And I wish that I could tell you that I invented the concept. I didn't. Silver Linings Transitions is my company. And we are a member of NASM, which is the National Association of Senior and Specialty Move Managers. And my story, if you want to hear
So is that part of a large organization?
Correct.
And this is like a franchise
it's
model?
It's not a franchise. It's my own company. We're independently owned and operated, but we choose to subscribe to a membership that has a code of ethics and training. And
okay.
I've gone to the annual conference for 10 years, but that's part of my story.
How do we define elderly?
Elderly. Well, you're not gonna,
I wasn't like qualified.
I will tell you that they've said middle-aged is going up, and now middle-aged is like in the 60s, which makes me happy because I'm, 54. But we're living longer, so middle-aged has to go up.
You would think. Just the math would say so, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're just babies. Just getting started.
Exactly,
here,
exactly.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. So
I love it.
How did you get into this?
Okay, so here's my story. Almost 20 years ago, this year, I was working as a realtor, mom of two young kids, 1 and 3 years old, and I found a lump in my neck, and very scary to have pathology go to Italy and wait 10 days to find out what was going on, which they suspected was cancer, and it ended up being thyroid cancer, which, as cancers go, that's considered a good cancer, but the 10 days of
good
waiting,
you know,
that's an oxymoron.
Yeah, right.
But the 10 days of waiting, you really look at your life, and I realized that real estate was not my passion, and I really wanted to make a difference, but I didn't know what it was. So fast forward, my now ex-husband and I moved from Florida to San Diego. He took a position at Cal State San Marcos, and I was going to be a stay-at-home mom at this time. I now had 3 children, so I did have a 3rd child after the cancer. And didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, but I just knew it wasn't a realtor. And I ended up working at a cancer foundation, discovered part-time, just, helping them get their foundation off the ground. And had a friend who discovered the senior move management industry. They were going to be having their national conference in San Diego. So I went
local. You got to go, right?
Well, yeah. I went as a fact-finding mission, and it was the light bulb that everybody talks about, the light bulb moment that Oprah says, aha. I'm like, this is what I want to do. Well, so at this point, there's no business. I'm starting it with a partner. Her husband is going to help us start the business, help us do the paperwork, because it's a lot, as you know, to get a business off the ground. And then shortly, a couple months after we're going to do it, she comes to me and said, and at this point, we have no clients. She says, my husband's business, who he had started his own business, has taken off. He needs my help. I can't really help you. So now I'm like, oh, I love this. I want to do it. But how do I start a business? I also knew that moving required a lot of organization, and I am not an organized person, which is really funny. So I posted something on Facebook and I said, I'm looking for people to join a team because I knew I needed other people who could help me make this work happen. And the first person who replied to me was a woman who had been a stay-at-home mom for 18 years, and nobody would hire her because they didn't value her experience of being a mom. And so she found it very difficult to re-enter the job market, but also the flexibility that people who are caring for children or family need, employers don't often offer that. So that was another light bulb. It's like, wait a minute, I can hire these, and we don't discriminate. We do have Joe on our team. But
the one token guy, there you go.
We've got him, so I can't say all women, but people who need that flexible schedule and then want to feel good about the work that we're doing. So,
wow.
And then I didn't even get into the work, but that's how I found it.
So what was the thing that you went to the conference? I mean, what's behind the behind, right? You said, this is my thing. I found it. But what was it that triggered that this is it?
So I was an only grandchild to my grandparents and lived with them off and on through my childhood. And I was very close with them. And at the time that I got into the industry, it was senior move management. There was no senior and specialty moves. And I'm like, I can help seniors. I've got the real estate experience. So I've helped people get out of their homes. And I had actually done a lot of the work as a realtor, you know, helping people figure out what they were going to take with them, figure out what to do with what they weren't taking with them.
It was part of the service you offered, right?
You know, decluttering the house and getting it ready for market. I just hadn't taken it further. And so the idea of being able to help seniors at a really can be a tough transition for them, you know, going from a lifetime of belongings and going to maybe either to move to be near children so that they can get help, or most of our clients are going to senior communities. And, you know, in our society, we don't talk about the fact that aging brings limitations and that one day we're going to die. And, you know, it's a shedding. I mean, you know, I took a college class where it was death and dying. And, you know, life is a series of losses. And it's sad to say that, but that's the reality. So silver linings is really about finding something that's good in a situation that maybe isn't so good, you know, in that dark cloud.
Wow. Just as you're saying this, it reminded me of my parents who were living in a home, had a house, you know, it was like in an adult community kind of thing. So it was like a 2-bedroom house, garage and all that. So not some big house, but a house. And they had made the decision to move into like the independent living, whatever, right?
I love that you called it that.
And they were going to move, right? And you have to know my parents. My parents are like super organized and get everything done. And it's just like mission driven. Not even done a good, come in a bad way. So my wife and I were going to go out there and help them move. I'm showing up thinking, okay, this thing's like 90% done and we just gotta, you know, put some tape on some boxes. And I get there and it's like 1% done. And I'm like, oh, what the heck? But it was my parents. They just, you know, given their age, they just couldn't do it. They weren't what they used to be.
It's the physical part for sure. As we age, you know, we just can't get on ladders and get things down and I mean, it's very physically demanding. We've had a lot of clients think they can do it themselves and then call us and like, oh, I think we need some help. But the emotions that go with collecting a lifetime of belongings and what they represent. And that is really where you need more than a mover who can stick your stuff in boxes and, you know, and haul it away. In fact, I've got a great story for you if I can share it.
Sure.
So part of what we are now doing with Silver Linings Transitions is we have joined a national nonprofit called Safe Moves for Seniors, because there are a lot of seniors who are, especially in San Diego, but all over, you know, the U.S., that are low income. They don't have the means and the resources, and some of them don't have family. And how do they make a move? And the story, you know, is that a lot of them will literally get on public transportation with garbage bags and go back and forth. And how do they do this? So there's currently no organization in San Diego that is serving these seniors. So we joined the Safe Moves for Seniors, and we are getting more phone calls than we can possibly handle. But there was a woman who didn't need the mover. She just needed unpacking assistance, because what had happened was she had moved from Orange County down to San Diego to be near her 21-year-old granddaughter, who is a student. I'm not sure where she's at school. And this is, I guess, her only relative. So she, I guess, finds an organization that is willing to pack her up. But what they did was they packed every single thing that she owned. There was no sorting through her belongings. She went to a place that was 25% the size of her old place. They dumped everything in boxes. She's 90. They stacked boxes from the floor to the ceiling. They blocked windows. She couldn't access the boxes. She couldn't get her sheets. She couldn't get her toiletries. She couldn't get her medications. She had one pair of shoes for weeks. She kept trying to get the moving company to come back and help her, and they didn't. So she found us, and we went in, and she was so grateful. And I mean, we couldn't, there was no place to put everything, and we didn't have the time to sort it, but we donated 20 hours of time so that she was at least living in a home that was safe. She can access her kitchen. She can move around. She can sleep in her bed. We just put all the other boxes in closets where her clothes weren't. We labeled anything that we could get to so she could at least see what was there. And then there were boxes that we couldn't even touch. But
problems we don't even think about. It's like these things all exist out there. There's all kinds of problems in the world. And until it shows up on your doorstep, you just don't give it a thought. Like, you know, the example of my parents and what if I wasn't around for whatever reason? Well, in fact, I'm really not. They were in Tucson and I'd drive out and all that kinds of good stuff.
Yeah. We
appreciate that work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so maybe describe a little bit more of what all the business is about, what you guys do with our services. And
sure. So, as I said, we did start as senior move managers, and then our industry changed, and they added the word senior and specialty because we started helping divorcing clients. So I went through a divorce, and, you know, it's when you are married and you're making decisions and you're moving together, you've got another person. Now I'm going through a divorce, and I have to pack all my belongings, and for a lot of couples, they have to sort, and it's very contentious. I'm actually a certified divorce coach so that I can go into those situations and help. Okay, what are we really fighting about? Are we fighting about the wagon wheel coffee table, or are we trying to get even with our ex? But so let me go through the process with a senior, and then I'll tell you how it works for the males. So how it starts is we offer a free consultation where we will meet with the client, we'll answer their questions, and we'll get a good sense about how much clutter they have. Because some people, like your parents, are super organized. It's going to be pretty easy. And some people are chronically disorganized and they can't get rid of anything. We need to understand where they are and how they're going to be in the process. So we meet with them. And then once they sign our contract, we take a deposit of half of the job, unless we refer them to one of our realtor partners. We've got about 20 realtors throughout San Diego that we work with who will cover most or all of our costs.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So some people don't need to pay us, and you know, but if they have a realtor or realtors want to work with us, that's great. I have a business card that also says I'm a realtor's best friend. But we will start with a floor plan. So we want to go where they're moving. We want to measure the space because the plans that communities give typically aren't accurate. They're not to scale. We can't look at the kitchen cabinets. We can't look at the closet size.
It's just a flyer for advertising.
Exactly. Yeah. So we want to measure. We want to see where the outlets are, what the cabinet space looks like, you know, where the doors swing. And then we meet with the client in their home and we create a two-scale version of their floor plan, taking measurements. And then we basically use a magnetic floor planning kit. And that's often people's biggest concern is what are they going to be able to take with them from furniture? And then the next thing that we do is we'll set up sorting sessions. So some people make really quick decisions. No, don't want that, don't want that, don't want that. And some people agonize. So we need to get a sense from how that person is going to make decisions. So we'll usually start with one sorting session. And if there are two people, we'll start with two sorting sessions because each of them, I've learned in a relationship, there's a piler and a filer. Somebody usually likes their stuff and somebody that's begging them, just like my boyfriend and I, I'm like, you don't need to hold on to your old Bert and Ernie doll, right? You know, so there's someone that's holding on to things and someone that wants to let go. So we're marriage savers too. So then we'll sort through.
You got it all going over there, Jimmy.
Yeah, sort through belongings. I've got an amazing team. So, you know, it is not one person doing everything. It's the expression, many hands make light work. So we will sort through the belongings and then we'll organize all of the logistics of the move. We have preferred movers that we work with, which I have another story for you. A friend of mine in Florida's mother was moving to a senior community, decided to do it on her own. My friend is 56 years old. They're going to try to pack the whole house. They work with the movers. The movers don't do what they say they're going to do. Lots of things get broken. She's got no recourse, and now she's dealing with all of this versus calling us in. We have movers that if they don't make it right, they're not going to work with us. So we handle all of the headaches for them. We organize all of the logistics that need to be taken care of. We arrange for elevators if there needs to be elevators, parking, and then we will completely pack up the house. Usually we pack up the house the day before the move. But what's nice is we tell people to think of their homes like staying in a hotel. So let's pack an overnight bag, keep your TV out, keep your coffee pot, you know, anything that you're going to need to stay comfortable in your home that last night. The next morning, we'll meet the movers. While they're loading everything, we're taking the stuff out of the refrigerator. We're taking your plants. We're taking clean bedding so we can make your bed for you. The rest of the team will meet the movers, and we will be unpacking the home while the movers are there unloading the furniture. We have our rhythm. That's, you know, how we do it. And then what we like to tell people is done by dinner. So we at least want our clients to be able to sleep safely in their home the night that they've moved in. Now, we sometimes will have to go back and do some refreshes. Some clients want the full, can't say HGTV because that's theirs, but the big reveal. Some people want us to do it all and decorate, and they have things that they don't even remember that they have, and we decorate them and put them together in a way that they're like, I get to live here. It's just better than anything. We've had clients that never hung their pictures before, and all of a sudden they walk in and they've got pictures on their wall. So it's like hiring a decorator and organizer and unpacker all in once. And then the magic wand that I brought in, and you said making moves magical. So when I introduced myself, I carry a wand now because people would come up and say, you're like angels, or it's like magic. And it feels so good to take one of the most difficult life stressors, which is moving. Even under good circumstances, you can't find your coffee pot,
no,
right?
I like the move.
But to be able to have it, find it, and have it all organized and in one space is, I have personally been a client 3 times now.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Hire your own people. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait. I mean, have I been a client twice? No, I moved when I got divorced. I moved into it. No, twice.
There's only one time in my life where moving was okay. In my 20s, I lived on a boat.
Oh.
I own a sailboat, a race boat. And so, like, weight's important, all that kinds of good stuff as well. So, everything I own could go in one sailboat.
Sure. I remember I was
other than that, I hate moving.
I was in my 20s, also moving into my first apartment, and I gave my friends beer and pizza. And, everybody packed up a box, and it was no big deal. But, you know, your 20s is very different from your 70s, your 80s.
Somebody's got a pickup truck, and that's all we need. We're good.
Exactly.
I don't own a couch. I don't have any of these things,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, Yeah. Life gets more complicated as we move forward.
It sure does.
For sure. Well, that's amazing. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
So talk about the business a little bit. Like you say, you kind of started at ground zero and started to invite some people in. You found a certain target for hiring, you know, certain types of people. Maybe speak to that a little bit. And
yeah, sure.
Values and culture and how are you making this all happen?
I love that. So initially, I put the word out on Facebook and got some great people and crickets. There was no business. I was really surprised. I thought, you know, great idea. So many people are going to come. And it took almost a year to lift the business and get our first client.
Really?
Yes, it was not as easy. And I had also, keep in mind that I had moved from Florida, so I didn't have...
You have a network.
I didn't have the network. And I had 3 young children. And oh, by the way, I ended up going through a divorce. So it
you were busy doing other things.
So really, people sort of found me, which was great. People would show up in my life just when I needed somebody to show up. The manager of our company, Dawn, we lived in the same neighborhood and we were part of a Facebook group. And I had posted years earlier that I was looking for help. She didn't see it. She was raising 2 children and also her mom had passed away. And she was just sort of in her own grief. And then a couple years later, I posted, I needed some help. I needed some new team members. It was a Sunday client that we had moved into a community, and then she needed to move out and get her stuff in storage because unfortunately she'd had to go to a higher level of care. And so no one was going to be there. I'm like, perfect opportunity for me to train people on how to pack. Client's not going to be there. So she came, and this was, I'm going to say 7 or 8 years ago. So did Joanne, who's another team member. And there was no work for them in the beginning. It was just work as it came. And then slowly I added full-time employees. And it was really important to me. In fact, Dawn is a single mom and doesn't have a partner. So she is, you know, raising her children on the income that Silver Linings Transitions provides for her and, you know, a flexible schedule and, you know, the ability that if she needs to do something with one of her kids, that's fine. She just does what she needs to do when she needs to do it. I'm all about the work-life balance. When I was in my corporate career prior to going into real estate and having my first child, I went to them. I was a buyer at Steinmart and went to them and said, hey, I'm having my first baby. I'd like to, you know, co-work with someone else who was also having a child. I don't need any benefits. I just want to be able to work 20 hours and be a stay-at-home mom the other 20. And they said, no. So I really wanted to create a corporate environment where people felt supported in their personal lives and in their professional lives. I did a lot of leadership work, you know, starting in high school. And so Dawn joined us. And then Katie is another single mom who came aboard. She's actually our client experience manager because, you know, in this world where you're calling a phone and it's like, dial this number, press this number, and then you're just hoping that you get a live person. She is the person that when you have a problem, you know you can get in touch with somebody. She's going to walk you through the process. She's going to follow up with you to make sure that we did a good job. And then, of course, we're going to ask for that review so other people can find us. Roxanne is now launching Silver Linings Transitions in South County. We were predominantly in North County. As you know, it's a very big county. So she is bringing our Silver Linings Transitions, the way that we work and marketing down in South County, and that's going really well.
So will you build a team in the South then?
We've already hired some people and training them. And in the meantime, our team leads, that's what we call the project manager, who really works with the client through the whole process, is getting them trained so that they can provide the same services. And you asked about our values. So our values are actually magic, because of the wands. So it's making a difference. Amazing. We want people to be like, wow, you made my house look like this. So that's the amazing.
Or so like just, the TV shows, like you say, the big reveal.
Right.
So,
and also just the whole experience. Yeah. Just like we really pay attention when we're working with somebody to get a feel for what's important to them. You know, maybe we'll blow up a picture for them or, you know, we'll do something. The other thing we do is we always leave fresh flowers behind once we've moved someone into their new home.
The first gift, right?
Yeah. It's just or an orchid or a plant. Yeah. So the G is for green. We actually use reusable bins in the majority of our moves. So they're much more efficient. We don't have to build the box, tear it down, and then stuff it. We have these great, in fact, we just bought new bins for South County.
These are all reusable?
They're reusable. Yeah. We have Joe, I told you about. He does all the deliveries and supplies. So he cleans them out, brings them back, and delivers everything that we need. We'll reuse any packing supplies that we can. If we're packing a kitchen, that will be all new. But if we're packing a lamp or we're packing, you know, tchotchkes or whatever, we'll bring in, you know, the stuff that can be salvaged. And we're not using like stuff that's gotten spilled on or nasty, right, but just the stuff that's we're using. So we're really trying to be environmentally aware. So that's the green is integrity. You know, we are honest. I have team members who've turned in cash, who've turned in jewelry. Everybody, we are members of the Better Business Bureau. We're licensed, bonded, insured. So, I mean, we just have this great group of people. And then the C is for care. You know, we really care. I mean, in that we care about each other. We care about, you know, the clients that we serve. My favorite thing every day now is we've started a daily huddle. So the four of us managers.
That's the agile method.
I didn't know that, but it's great. So we usually start at 8:30. We have our word of the day. You know, how are you today? You know, what's going on in your life? Not just business. And then what do you have going on? What's going to take up your time? Where do you need help? Which it's my favorite when I can say, hey, take this on. And then the word of the day is one of our core values.
How long does your meeting last?
It's supposed to be 5 minutes, but we really enjoy it. I mean, I think.
Okay. So how long does it last, Jamie?
10 to 15.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I have to share that, I don't know, one day I finally woke up to this thing that not everyone is me. And not that I'm some amazing guy, but I can kind of hold what's going on in my life and what I'm going to get done for the day and the week and the month. I mean, that's why I run projects back in the day. And it took me quite a while to realize that a lot of people on my team wake up each day kind of going, where am I? Right? Mm-hmm. Which leads to, in the world of project management, this thing called Agile. And they're big fans of the idea of the daily huddle or scrum in some places they call it. But it's like getting it's like football. You know, you have a huddle. What play we going to run? Mm-hmm. So everyone's coordinated. Mm-hmm. And let's go run the play, right? So it's really that same idea. And some people really need that. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But I also love the idea of adding a value word in every day. I actually was at a meeting with the Ritz-Carlton many, many years ago. And they were talking about the Ritz-Carlton way. And every employee back in the day, anyways, I don't know about now, had their values in their pocket. Mm-hmm. Every employee.
I've seen their values, yeah.
Yeah, and that was part of their deal was every, you know, you would go around the horn, different employees would like share some story relative to what they've done relative to the values. So how else do you reinforce it unless you keep bringing it alive in front of everybody?
Right. So. That reminds me, I remember hearing the story, and maybe you've heard it too. It was somebody that had like a 4 o'clock wake-up call. This is back in the day before we all had our mobile phones to wake us up, and you would call the hotel and ask for the wake-up call. And it was like 4 a.m., and then a couple minutes later, you know, there's a knock on the door. You know what I'm talking about?
I haven't heard this, though.
And it's a cup of coffee.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, that is exactly who I want Silver Linings Transition to be. What is that extra little thing that we can do that you're like, wow, they thought of that?
Yeah, their philosophy was to know what the customer wants before the customer knows what they want. So like the cup of coffee,
exactly.
Right? You know they're going to want a cup of coffee. They probably haven't thought of it yet, but if they show up the door at that.
And how, you know, like that is just going to get out. You know, like this is what they did for the cup of coffee, right?
Well, that's the thing you're going to remember. It's that unique event that kind of hits you in the heart.
What's your differentiator?
Yeah, love that. Love that. Well, one of the things that when you and I were talking on the phone the other day was you've been gotten the ability to do things outside the business now. You're not all captured in there cranking away, heads down all day long. So talk a little bit how you've been able to do that, because I think that's one of the biggest challenges of many business leaders, especially small businesses, to find a little bandwidth from the day to day. So how did you make that happen?
So it's interesting. When I was a realtor, I was involved in the business on a day-to-day basis, and I was the business. So when I started this business, it was begin with the end in sight. You know, where do I see myself? And you can't be working in the business and working on the business as you're nodding your head, right? And so as we added this third person in the daily huddles, I realized that I stepped away from doing consultations last year. So I used to think that I had to do every single consultation,
of course,
meet every single client.
No one else could get it right.
Right. We're going to lose the business if it's not me. Yeah. But the reality was I was never good at estimating the job from the very beginning. I was taking pictures of the jobs, sending it to my managers who were like really doing the job. And I have to tell you how I ended up getting away the first time, because it's a good story. So I was on every single job when I first started the business, although I never sorted with a client because and this is going to lead to my next part, I am not organized. I've shared that before. And I'd be like, yeah, you need to keep that. And yeah, you need to keep that, right?
So you were the problem.
I'm not the coach. But we had our first job and I was sick. And so it was the first time that they were going to go and I wasn't going to be there. And so I didn't pack with them. And the next day I showed up for the unpack. They were like, you know what? Why don't you go get us coffee? Because they discovered that they liked it a lot more when I wasn't hovering over them. Because when you own the business, sometimes you're so, you know, intense, right? And so it was the first time that I realized they can do this without me and they're happier doing it without me. And I'm happier not worrying about it as much as I'm worrying about it. So that was my first aha. But then when Don finally said, Jamie, I need to do the consultations because I need to see the job so that I can estimate the job. And because I was calling her, can we do it this day? Can we do this? And I would tell a client, yes. That wasn't what the calendar could accommodate. She knew what was going on. So I stepped away last year from consultations. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, now what do I do? And in the whole process, and this is, let me share my little story. So I started the business a little over 10 years ago. And I would say 3 years in, my oldest child is diagnosed with ADHD. And I'm going to tell you just for context, my oldest child is non-binary, but born a girl, which is relevant because ADHD shows up very differently in girls than it does typically in boys. And there's, by the way, I'm going to say this about ADHD. You meet one person with ADHD, you meet one person with ADHD, and not everybody follows these rules. But my child wasn't the hyperactive little boy in class that everybody's, oh, there's the hyper kid, there's the ADHD kid. My child was reading at 3, could sit and read a book. I never believed that they had ADHD. So when the psychiatrist was evaluating my child, I was like, I'm answering more yeses for me. Do I have it? Like, I had no idea. So here I'm, you know, 46, 47 years old, realizing that I have ADHD. So as typical as someone with ADHD, we are very curious. We want to understand how things work. I don't know if I shared the story with you, but you know the little boy that loves dinosaurs and he can tell you every single dinosaur that lived and when it lived and what its features were. And so that's how I became with ADHD. I just kept learning and learning and learning. And in the meantime, I'm running this business, Silver Linings Transitions. And what I should say is we do move management. We also do home organizing, decluttering, garages, storage units. So we're in people's homes and seeing how they live. And I do a talk all over San Diego. Do you own your stuff or does your stuff own you? And then I ended up seeing clients that had hoarding disorder and realizing that when we're working with someone who has hoarding disorder, they don't make an easy transition into a senior community. So then I start explaining to people why you can't just move somebody with hoarding disorder into a senior community and have them be happy. Because what we found every single time we worked with someone who had hoarding disorder and we moved them, that they did not like our company. Now, we have 5-star reviews across the board. We bend over backwards to make people happy. we couldn't make them happy. So then I started to notice that pattern, started to learn about hoarding disorder and research that. And then just kept seeing people with piles of stuff everywhere and just kept calling it hoarding disorder. And by the way, hoarding disorder exists on a spectrum. You can have a level 1 to a level 10. And then it really wasn't until the light bulb moment for me just a couple of months ago that I've been actually, when I go into these talks, I'm like, I come from a family with hoarding disorder. My mom has piles of shit everywhere. Everywhere. And I always remember when I graduated from college and I moved in with my mom. She's in her 40s, I'm in my 20s, and my mom has stuff shit everywhere. And I'm like, this is driving me crazy. My mom finally says, I think you need to move out. And I said, you know what? I think I do need to move out because clutter drives me crazy.
Yeah, I hate clutter.
So I would, it sounds like you come from a family that doesn't like it either.
Oh.
So I finally put it together and realized, you know what? They say ADHD is heritable as height. It runs in families. My child has it. I now realize I have it. By the way, I knew my father had it because you could see it in boys. You could see it in videos of him. And my half-brother had to be put on Ritalin, you know, to go to elementary school. So I'm like assuming this whole time I got it from my dad. And then I realized my mom has ADHD. And it was like an epiphany for me. And I can't believe I've been working with seniors for 7 years. I know about ADHD. I know I have ADHD and I never put the connection together. So then I called my mom and I'm like, Mom, I'm going to send you this podcast on ADHD. I want you to listen to it. And then it was like the light bulb went off for both of us. And so again, my mom could sit and read books for hours. I couldn't sit still to read a book. So again, you think
then that's a little box you can put it in, eh?
No. So, but I went to visit my mom in January of this year, and I start to look at her apartment with new eyes, and I'm suddenly like, she doesn't really have hoarding disorder in the way that I see our clients with hoarding disorder, because she doesn't have an issue with the discard, which means that if you go to someone with hoarding disorder and you want to throw something away, even something that's like low-hanging fruit, like a piece of garbage or something, they can have a visceral reaction. It will make them sick. Somebody with ADHD, they struggle with making decisions and knowing where to start. And they're very creative. So like for my mom, she's always taking on a new project. So she will go out and she'll buy all of the things that she needs to crochet, right? And then she gets super excited about it. And then she gets bored because boredom is someone with ADHD's kryptonite. And then she moves on to the next thing. And then she moves on to the next thing. And she doesn't stop because we don't do a good job of, okay, I need to put this away. I need to sell this because she thinks, oh, I might use it again, so I'm not going to get rid of it. Or she goes out and she antiques and she's like, oh, I can do something with this. Because the other thing that happens with ADHD is that our brains are lacking dopamine. So we will do things to create dopamine. So that can be, a lot of people have substance abuse issues. They're self-medicating because they don't understand that it's really dopamine. So I've now gone into clients' places who are acquiring, and they're acquiring for that dopamine hit. They get that instant gratification of, oh, I just bought something, which is going to go away as soon as, you know, the thing is delivered. So now I actually have started my own podcast and website and program called Grandma Has ADHD. It's launching June 1st, and I'm beyond excited because the only book that exists on seniors with ADHD was written by Dr. Kathleen Nadeau. She's already been a guest on the podcast.
Oh, and
like,
nice.
I'm
right into the deep water.
Love that. Because there's not enough information out there for seniors, and they're going to need to understand what ADHD looks like. I interviewed Alan P. Brown. He's actually a local San Diegan yesterday, and he does the ADD Crusher. He learned that he had ADHD in his 30s. And started a program. It's very common for people with ADHD to start things. They're a lot likely to be entrepreneurs. He said that he was doing a talk and there was an 87-year-old man in the audience who had just discovered that he had ADHD 7 years earlier. He said it was the best 7 years of his life.
I was speaking to a mutual friend of ours.
Okay.
And this was mind-boggling to me. And it came up because he knew I was going to be talking to you. And he was sharing how in his 40s, he was thinking he had early onset of Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. dementia,
right.
And freaking out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because he couldn't remember things and all these things that on the surface would look like that. And so he felt pretty fortunate. He went and got some testing with some neuroscientists or whatever, surgeons and kind of people. And they came back and said, no, you just got ADHD. A whole different path.
Absolutely.
What was mind-boggling was his comments of saying, well, he just assumed that was a direction and that most people say that's what it was. that he had dementia. And like that became like, well, how many seniors do we have? They're being misdiagnosed.
Bingo. Yeah. One in five.
I had never heard this before. Ever heard this before.
So in my interview with Kathleen Nadeau, one in five memory care clinics are even routinely asking about ADHD. And the problem right now is there's no true screening for adults. I think it's for adults or for definitely not for seniors, but I'm not sure about adults. Because we used to only screen little boys and kids. Well, we act very differently as we age. And so they're not even aware that ADHD exists. So what they're now saying is you need to go back to your behavior in your 40s and think, how did we act? It's funny, I brought my baby book in with me just to give you an example. So somebody had asked me the time that I was born. So I went and found my old baby book. And again, remember, I just made the realization that my mom had ADHD. And I'm looking through my baby book. And it's not even a third filled out. You know, this is my mom in her 20s. And then I've actually heard people say, well, nobody fills out their child's baby book. They're busy sleeping and they're busy. I'm like, that's correct. But every year for my birthday, I have asked my mom to complete my baby book, to give me a baby album. And it never happened. And I'm her only child.
So you got the podcast. What else are you doing in this space?
So we're doing...
Because obviously you're trying to get the word out.
So we're really looking for somebody that can help us get funding for Safe Moves for Seniors, whether it's grant money, corporate sponsors. But there are a lot of people who need the help of the services that we provide. And then, you know, just silver linings transitions, you know, building our team, getting my team, you know, giving them the support that they need. I have to tell you, a lot of team members actually leave silver linings transitions because we're still a small company. And, you know, I can't offer all of the benefits and all of the things that these big companies offer. I, you know, I do end of the year bonuses, which usually equates to, you know, a week's vacation. But, you know, some people need more. So I always tell people that silver linings transitions is that springboard back into the working market. I said, you know, use us, develop the skills that you want. If there's something you want to do that you want to put it on your resume, let's work on that. And I'll help you get what you need to do to get there.
With your target really being kind of the moms that are stay home moms and want to get back into
It's both. I mean, I would say the majority of, and I used to say that it's not true anymore. It used to be the moms that were transitioning back into the workforce. Yeah. But it seems to be, I've got a lot of divorced women that have joined the team. Maybe they're going back into working after going through a divorce, or people that are looking to transition their career. Joanne, who I mentioned, she used to be a manager with Hallmark. She didn't like it. She was working long hours on her feet. We work on our feet too, but there's a lot of gratification in the work that we do. And so I remember when she came to me and she's like, okay, I'm going to give up Hallmark and I'm just going to work for Silver Linings Transitions. And this was probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I'm like, Joanne, it's going to work out. And it has.
I love the fact that you're kind of working with people in transition. That's your clientele.
Absolutely.
And then your employees tend to be people that are in transition in some fashion, right? So you're kind of marrying that all together. That's
yeah.
That's
and I would say that they, luckily, the majority of our team has been with us for more than 4 years. So I think it is really just a supportive environment.
Takes a while to transition out. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't want them to. I mean, I want people to stay.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's, I mean, selfishly, I want to train them. They're these great people. And we do. I mean, work is about feeling good about what you do, but also being in an environment of people that you feel good working with. Like, I know that if I'm going to be on a job, I'm going to be in a good mood because I'm going to be working with people that are just fun and light and, you know, just good people.
That. All right. My big mantra is, how do we make work meaningful, right? So,
wow.
Yeah. How do we do that? Well, first off, it's a great team.
Yes.
That's a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, believe it or not, Jamie, we're kind of wrapping things up.
Wow.
So the big question to you is, what's the big idea? So you shared a lot of things. You're doing some amazing things with your business. You got some other ventures you're going down here, trying to change the community, educate the community. What's the big thought you would like people to walk away with?
Well, selfishly, I would like them to know that they don't have to make a move or organize their house on their own. They can call professionals in like Silver Linings Transitions that are going to make a difference. And I would just say back to help. I think that, you know, so many of us are afraid to ask for help when we need it, or there's shame if there's good disorganization, or especially, you know, a lot of seniors that are the greatest generation, silent generation, unlike the boomers, they don't like to ask for help, but sometimes help is what they need.
Well, I love what you're doing. I love how your story, your journey has been, here's what's happened in my life, which wasn't always a positive, right? And you've been able to look at that and turn that around and make it a positive and create a business, and what you're doing with ADHD and all these different things all kind of come out of your own personal story. And that's a great path. Love what you're doing.
I appreciate it. I love the interview and I love what you're doing, bringing, you know, business owners that have a conscious capitalism mentality together.
It's what we need in this world.
Yeah, for sure.
Something beyond profit. We do need profit. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
We need profit, but there's more to it than that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our show for today. And if you enjoy it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, Business for Good, and Cause San Diego. We're all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Lenton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, for we're all counting on you.